Don't Call It a Comeback, episode 94. Episode 94, Tone Junkie Podcast, the greatest podcast, the one that started them all, the greatest experiment in top of mind, on-demand broadcasting, brought to you from the floral musings of a madman. I don't know. Listen to John Nathan Cordy playing us in. You know? Hello. We're back. Tone Junkie Podcast. And got some good stuff. We did some great stuff during the week. I've had so many people get on me about, hey, HW, I love all your Kemper profiles. I moved to the Quad Cortex. What's up? Now I don't have your stuff. I really want it. HW, what do you think of the Quad Cortex? I'm trying it out, but I, you know, maybe be better. I miss a lot of my tones I had before. And so I put out some new stuff, some quad capture stuff, Quad Cortex capture stuff for those guys. And fear not, the new Bensun pack, if you didn't see, it's not even new, it just has some updated effects. Basically just took the Bensun pack and updated the effects and put it out how I would put it out right now, and shot a new demo for it, and wanted to make that a free-for-all pack. Free-for-all. So it's free for all Kemper users, and it's truly some of the best we've ever done, and I'm excited about it. I like it. I dig it. And it's one of the packs I'm most proud of that we've ever done. I just think it fits so well. Worship, classic rock. Those amps are truly some of the most amazing amps out there, and I think we captured them beautifully. We captured tones from them beautifully, because nothing really compares to having the actual amp. I'll just remind you of that. So they're very difficult to get those amps, but go out and get them. Go out and get them. Seriously, they're really great. Suze might be buying another one because we've had them and we've gotten rid of them at times. You know, we got a match list, we got a this, whatever. But nothing's better, you know, really than anything. But those things are very special. Episode 94, a lot to talk about. Today we're going to talk about on the podcast coffee. In general, I feel that coffee's gone too far, and I'm outraged. Specifically, this new coffee tech movement that's coming in. We gotta stop this. It's getting bananas. And then also, I want to talk about something that I gave a playful title to, The Case of the IR Bandit, but it is, it's not funny at all. David Hislop's IRs have been ripped off, and some people have been selling them, and he made a post about it. We're going to talk about that. I'm going to give my opinion on the situation. I'm going to give some insight on the whole thing. As a member, as a creator, you know, who has their stuff stolen all the time. I've had people stealing my stuff for years. And by that, I don't just mean people sharing it with their friends. I don't much care about that. And I don't much care about the people I'm about to mention, but dude, I've had people ripping me off online, people, trying to put my everything bundle on eBay and trying to, you know, they'll put up a website and put my profiles on it and say, here, you can get all, I got, you know, 30,000 profiles, all the Tone Junkie stuff, all the Michael Britt stuff, all the this, all the that. And they try to charge $50, $100. Or they try and sell a flash drive with a bunch of stuff. And they go, so my Kemper here, I'm selling all my profiles separately. And then you look and it's like, you have 8 available? Okay. So, you know, that's, but whatever. I mean, some people say that what I do is stealing. So I think those people are dumb, but whatever. We could talk about that on another episode of the podcast, but I want to talk about coffee right now. Okay. Coffee. And then it's a weekend. So I'm probably going to go watch Boba Fett with my kids and, with the youngins. And then I'm going to, maybe do nothing. I might play some Warzone. Haven't played that in a while. Let's get into coffee, guys. So here's what's going on with me. And shout out to my friend, Curtis Lamberton from Lambertone's Pickups. I don't know if there's an S on the name or not. Someone tried to correct me recently. It's Lambertone's. But I think the sounds that come out of his pickups are Lambertone's. And so it would be appropriate to say when you hear a great sounding guitar, like both of those, like the red JM that I have in those demos of the Bensun pack for the Quad Cortex and for the Kemper, those are Lambertone's Ristrettos. And they sound fantastic, But I feel like it's appropriate when there's a good sound out of that guitar to go, that's a Lambertone. You know what I'm saying? That just feels right. I say that to the Sioux. And anyway, those are really great. You know, it's funny. Those pickups to me are kind of like, I put them in a guitar. I love them. Then I try to do something else with them. And I'm like, okay. But then, dang, man, I get them again in another scenario. And I go, these are truly magnificent. And I think that what we did with those pickups in the demos there is truly where they shine. Truly where they shine. I'm not going to call the Ristrettos a one-trick pony. I don't think they're a one-trick pony. They can only get one tone. But let me tell you the thing. I wasn't even planning on talking about this. But let me tell you the thing I think they do better than any other pickup that I've ever played. And that is, if you are a worship guy and you want to put on a lot of verb and delay, and you know this trick to keeping that dark, the type of presence that exists in those pickups absolutely keep your guitar audible and on a layer above the darker verb and repeats that's underneath it. Now, if you want to jump to classic rock and you want to play AC/DC, am I going to say that they're the best voiced? I don't think they can. I'm not saying they can't do that. I'm just saying you're going to need to get some your mid-range from somewhere, right? And that extra presence might not lend to the more rolled off top end that you'll find on maybe some rock stuff. So for that, I reach for my other Jam Pro with P90s. That's the S90s, right? And I think those pickups are very, they do a lot of things really well. But I'll say this, the S90s are maybe my all-time favorite pickup, but they're not my favorite pickup for almost any one thing. Like the S90 to me is like it's a compromise in, you are 85% of the way there on everything to me, right? They fit on the bridge. It is 85% as rockin' as my SSV humbucker. For the neck on the cleans, it's 85% as clear, single coily goodness as the Lambertone thing, or as maybe I'll say as Goldie. And then for the worship clarity, adding some clarity in the middle, it's 85% as good as the Lambertone thing, the Ristretto specifically. So it's interesting, though I lean towards that S90 because I feel like it's super versatile. But I'll tell you, about a month ago, I played the Ristrettos at church. And I haven't never had so many of my bandmates compliment me on my tone. They all noticed that there was an extra clarity. And it was taking some tweaking. I was tweaking during the service because I'm using a setup that I built for something else. I built it for the S90s, and then I've modified a little bit for other pickups, for the for some other Sur pickups, for like some Thornbuckers and some. But you know I'm a Sur guy. But man, I played that thing, and the Ristrettos are really good. Really good. Like this week, I think I kind of pulled that guitar out and realized it again. And really, I told Sue's, we're going to play his guitar in the demo. Anyway, how much time did I just blurb about that? It wasn't even my point. But he came to mind. Curtis came to my mind because he's such a coffee snob. I love you. He's such a coffee snob. And I put a post up recently where I was talking about this Ember mug, or I wasn't talking about the Ember mug, but it was in there. And Curtis pointed out, oh, nice Ember mug, right? And then he said something that I could not disagree with more. And here is where I will say nothing else kind about coffee and him on the podcast for the rest of the hour or whatever this is. No, nothing mean though. He said, isn't it amazing that we can control the temperature of our coffee from an app? And I would like to say, good sir, I have never heard anything more foolish in my life. I am anti all of this coffee tech, okay? I am sick of it. Now, let me explain. Because I feel, I'm not even just mad that they're making the coffee tech. I'm a little bit upset that it appears to be trying to enter my home and assault me, okay? And it feels like it's mocking me, okay? It is off its rocker and it needs to be stopped. There is too much tech in coffee. Okay, first of all, I want to say I love this Ember mug. My wife, but now if you don't know what the Ember mug is, the Ember mug is, it's a mug with a battery and a heating element on the bottom. And it can connect via Bluetooth to an app on your phone and let you dial in the exact temperature you want your coffee. Okay. Now, my wife first bought this Ember mug, and I do recommend them because I ended up getting one. My wife first bought it and I didn't like it. I said, that's ridiculous. I don't need that. She's like, do you want one? I said, no. Just, I don't want that. I then used hers and I said, do they have it in black? Okay. Like, do they have it in black? Cause I kind of want one now. And it has a little charging base and you just set it down, you charge it and you keep that charging base on your desk and you can keep your coffee at one temperature indefinitely. Or if you take it off the charger, I think you got 80 minutes. And it's a little bit weird because I brewed this cup of coffee over an hour and a half ago and I on purpose didn't drink it until the podcast. But I left it on the charger there and I just sat there. A lot of people might be thinking, ew, you left your coffee out that long. Isn't it going to go bad? No, not at this temperature. You could theoretically preserve it indefinitely, even with milk. You know, we're above the temperature the bacteria grows. And so my wife said, is it hot enough for you? Do you want me to turn it up or anything? Or did you get the app yet? And I said, look, I appreciate this technology. I look at the design of the cup and the charger and I go, this is truly a beautiful design. You just dry this thing, you put it down on the charger and it has two little prongs that touch the little metal circles on the bottom. You don't have to line it up. Any orientation you put the cup on the charger, it'll charge the cup. I said, I truly, truly believe this is a beautifully designed, you know, piece of thing here. It has infinite utility to me. It solves a problem I didn't even know I had, but I've experienced every day. I love it. I love the Ember mug. This podcast is now sponsored by the Ember mug. They've given me no money, but I am now a spokesperson. Please go get an Ember mug. It's great. It's beautiful. Here is the issue. Once a mug wants to interact with my phone and get online and I need to, then it's going to start sending me notifications. Right? And then it's going to start telling me this and that. And it's all this extra stuff I don't want. Okay? Which brings me to my next piece of coffee technology that I am absolutely livid about. We got a new Keurig. It's the new Keurig. If you buy a Keurig not right now, it's the one. And this gosh darn thing every morning is trying to get on my Wi-Fi and I've had enough. Get off the internet. Okay? You are a coffee maker. I have been brewing coffee without internet connectivity. I mean, man has been doing this for as long as coffee has been around. We've been boiling hot liquid since the beginning of civilization. You, my friend, do not need the internet. And every morning I get in there and it says, first thing it tells me, I push the button, disconnected from Wi-Fi. Shut your mouth, okay? Stop it. And then what does it tell me? I put in my little Keurig cup. I ignore it. I try to make this not a big deal. And then I put in my Keurig cup. And what does it say? Scanning, analyzing, brew ID. And then pod recognized. It's recognized. This is the Starbucks holiday blend. This is the Keurig donut shop blend. This is the this. This is the this. Why are you telling me? I know. Listen, Keurig, you're like a child who walks into the beginning, in the middle of a movie and wants to know what's going on. We've all been watching already. You can't just interrupt the film, okay? You know where that's from. I don't need any of this. I know the pod I just put in, okay? I have no reason to get you on the internet. Your job is to take the water I have put in you, hot, make it hot and send it through this little cup and then give me this stuff. This Ember mug has solved a problem. Coffee would cool. Now it doesn't. What are you doing, Keurig? And then you go, analyzing, I found the best recommended brew for the Starbucks holiday blend. F you, my best recommended brew. Stop with the, look, if I'm at home and I haven't got out a carafe and I haven't got a more expensive maker and I'm trying to make one cup at a time, I'm not doing a pot, I'm not doing a pour over, I'm not doing a French press, I've already communicated with all of my actions, with my very being, that quality is not what I'm after. Quality is not at the top of the totem pole of decision-making criteria that I am employing for this cup of coffee. No, I am compromising on quality for ease of use. So how dare you get in front of me with your prompts and your notifications? And I know, Keurig, you probably got an app already. And I ain't downloading it, all right? Ember, I applaud you. Beautiful product. You went too far with the app. Pull it back. Pull it back right now. No, just no. Stop it. Canceled. Shut it down, Ember. I don't need the app. Shut it down. Keurig, way too far. Way too far. What are you going to do on the internet? What do you need the internet for? What, are you going to put my brew on TikTok? You're going to go find out more recommended blends? Then you're going to start making suggestions to me. I don't want any suggestions. I want you to shut your little plastic mouth. I want you to be concerned only with getting hot water through my little coffee K-cup. That's it. I don't want anything else from you. I don't want you to get on Wi-Fi. I don't want you to check my email. I don't want you to tell me what you think I should be doing with my coffee. I don't need your opinion, okay? It's before coffee. It's too much, okay? Now, here's what I do know about the Wi-Fi feature, because my wife pointed this out to me. Oh, well, if you use the Wi-Fi, I could be upstairs in my bed and I could press the button and I could press the button and it'll brew my coffee downstairs for me. And I'm thinking, this is what we think like ease looks like. This is convenience. I now have to load the coffee maker the night before. So now I have to plan my coffee the night before. I have to now plan it the night before by putting a K-cup in there. If I put a mug, now I'm on a timer. Oh, you brewed your coffee and you're not drinking it. It's getting colder. Unless I put the Ender mug under there. Here's the problem. Even if I fully put my Ember mug fully charged, that's another step I have to do the night before to put it under the Keurig. I guess I could put the charger under there. But you see how now I'm having to put two systems together and I'm having to jerry-rig a thing just to make up for the inadequacies of the Wi-Fi design. Like, I need to be in bed like, start brewing my coffee. Just stop it. Just stop it. And here's why that's stupid. How long does it take to brew the cup of coffee? You go downstairs, you put the cup in. It takes like 30 seconds. So I have to, and here's the thing, I have to get my coffee. I have to go there anyway. So all we're doing is saving about 30 seconds because I still have to load it, whether I load it the night before or the night or that morning. I still have to put my mug there, right? I still have to do all that. So we're saving nothing. And instead, all I could be gaining is, well, instead of waiting 30 seconds, but I still have to be there to get it and maybe like take out the old one and take my coffee. So, but what could you do in those 30 seconds? Let's say you free up those 30 seconds now. What can you do in 30 seconds? I mean, because you still have to go there. So usually what I do in my 30 seconds is I take out the old K-cup, I start brewing, and then I go throw it away. And then I walk back and I usually just stand there and wait. And you know what I do? I take a pill that I take every morning and I take my vitamins. That's what I do with that 30 seconds. Sometimes I say hi to my family. Sometimes I enjoy the ritual that is standing around and drinking a cup of coffee in the kitchen in the morning. And then it brings me to my next point. My post, which I will show here, was what happens when you forget to put a mug underneath the Keurig and you press brew. And now we're really going to get into it. My biggest problem with Keurig and the engineers at Keurig, because you people, you know, I don't know how you sleep at night. I really don't. Because while you're busy trying to get me on Wi-Fi and trying to get all this recommended brew stuff, you have, my friends, overlooked the single greatest feature you could have built in to this new Keurig, which is, how about a sensor that tells me when I forgot to put a mug under my coffee machine so that I don't run an entire brew and it just spills everywhere and goes all over. And for some reason, by the way, that little tray, it doesn't hold the 10 and 12 ounce options that you give me. So it overflows. So my question to you is, did no one ever think that why don't we just put a little weight sensor or some sort of thing that if I don't have a mug there, it beeps? Or maybe it doesn't brew. And then when I go back and go, why didn't my coffee? Oh, I didn't put the mug. And then it'll say, forget the mug. And then I'd go, Keurig, you genius, I love you. But instead I'm over here going, you are solving problems that I don't have. And you're ignoring the problems that I do have. So you know what I'd like to do, Keurig? Here's my suggestion. I'll put you on the Wi-Fi when I can write a sternly worded comment to the Keurig designers, so I can type into my little Keurig screen, how about a sensor for that mug that I just overflowed everywhere? You see what I'm saying? We don't need this. We don't need this. We don't need any of the things you're building in. None of them. Zero. Okay? It's too far. It's way too far. And look, I respect that there are other minds, okay, out there, okay? Curtis is a really smart guy. He knows a lot about a lot of things. He knows a lot about pickups. He knows a lot about coffee, okay? So I respect that there's other people who want to drink their coffee at a specific temperature in the app. I think it's a little too much, but I'm going to categorize this under something that, fine, I'm not into it. But other people are. It helps them. I like it. I like it. I like it. We all got to have choice, right? We all got to, you know, he's voting with his wallet. He wants the Ember mug with the app. I guess I'm voting with my wallet. They're both votes for Ember, but I'm less enthusiastic about the app. But Keurig, I just am going to say this. If you are the type of person who's connected your Keurig to Wi-Fi and you are starting brews, which I don't even think the Keurig is worthy of the word brew, by the way. If you're making yourself a cup of Joe from your bed, I just want you to know, I judge you. I just judge you, okay? This is me getting a little judgmental. I judge you as someone who, you know what? You need to just get up and make that bed and go make yourself a cup of coffee, okay? Because I think this is illuminating other things. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. All right, moving on. There's a story transpiring, and I'm not trying to make light of this for David Hislop or anyone who's had this happen. I know that my demeanor can often come across as joking. I often am joking about things, but even when I'm serious, I throw in jokes sometimes, which a lot of people don't get. You know, a lot of people say, oh, there's every joke, there's a half-truth. Sometimes my jokes have half-truths. Sometimes I really am just trying to get a laugh. Sometimes I literally say the opposite of my opinion just to get a laugh. Because I think most people aren't funny. And that's all. That's all. That's all. You see an open door. You know, and you take it and you make a joke, right? And yeah, I don't, what, more jokes are better than less jokes, right? Anyway, this is not a joke. David Hislop put up on his Instagram, if you don't know David, David is a guitar player from Bethel Music, and he's someone I greatly respect. He makes some really great products in terms of being a creator in the creator community for YouTube and content makers for video, and for being someone who makes things for the guitar, the digital guitar world. I have tremendous respect for him. He makes great stuff. And I myself, you know, am in a position where I play with a church, and we record some music and we put some stuff out under the name Church House. And, you know, David is someone whose music I learn and play several times a month. You know, I'm usually playing two times a month, maybe. Maybe once a month, I don't know. Twice a month, three times, I don't know. It depends. But, you know, David is on a lot of these recordings, and so I have spent a considerable amount of time, you know, listening to songs that David is playing guitar on. And I mean, it's safe to say right now, he and several other people who I would just say is...
Are you going to cut that part out?
No, I guess not. Hey guys.
Hello, I just wanted to say that I subscribed to my dad's channel, and you should too.
That's right, you should like and subscribe.
Ah!
Also a valuable contribution, Leo, thank you.
Yeah! You should also climb on his, on your dad's neck.
Please don't do that.
Ah!
Ah!
Do it!
Do you guys want to play, what are you trying to play, Uno?
Take the mic!
Here, let's let that be.
Am I talking to the mic?
You're probably yelling, so
yeah!
Don't yell, please. Okay, do you want to play Uno?
Yeah!
Okay. Why don't you go upstairs and then we'll play Uno
in a
minute.
I'm waiting for you.
Please don't touch that. All right, well, that was my kids. At their request, I will not cut all of that out. Just most of the parts where they were yelling into the microphone. Fun fact about that last one there. Being tested for being gifted. He's our strange one. And, I know a lot of parents, you know, are like really, I know a lot of parents might be really like, oh, my kid's gifted. He's so smart. I have no interest in my children being gifted, at all. I would like them to, at a very young age, realize that they are normal and, they can excel. They may have some abilities, and those abilities will aid them, but only if they, you know, complement those abilities with dedication and hard work. And you know, life's things happen to you, but it's habits really change everything. Habits and mindset change everything. They really can. And by everything, okay, are habits and mindset going to get you out of poverty in sub-Saharan Africa? That's not what I'm talking about, but I think in the context of the people I know I'm talking to, habits and mindset can really change everything. So back to this. My younger one, weirdo, dude. He's such a weirdo. A lot of sensory seeking behavior, lots of it. He constantly is turning the shower too hot. He constantly has this very hot heating pad. He always wants in the microwave. He always wants hotter. He likes spicy food. He likes strong, sour, and tangy, spicy things. You know, everything. It's compression blanket. I mean, he's like, but he's very smart. I don't know how. I really legitimately have no idea how. I'll tell you, something interesting happened. He was starting to learn how to read, and he was getting really upset at his letters. And then in the course of like 3 weeks, he started just looking at books, practicing the words, but he would do it silently. He hated saying the words out loud. And he was just reading these books, these little Bob books. And then like 3 weeks later, my wife convinced him to read out loud. And he was reading the Bob books like I would read them. And then we thought he was just imitating his brother. He was reading Diary of a Wimpy Kid. And I'm like, in a freakish amount of time. Now, he didn't know a lot of the words in Diary of a Wimpy Kid because his vocabulary wasn't there, right? but he was just skipping words and going along, and but reading fast. And I was like, he literally just went from not knowing all the letters to like 3-4 weeks later, he could read out loud. Like, I don't know. And we didn't, neither my wife nor I knew that he was actually getting close to reading. He just, I don't know. So I've always known he was kind of a weirdo kid. Also, he just reads every, he's like, anyway, I don't want to talk about him a bunch. He's great. I'm just not trying to be on that. Like, my kid's super gifted. And I think that's a weird, like, vicarious living thing. I honestly wouldn't care if either of my kids are smart at all. In a lot of ways, I'd be much more proud if they found some, like, honestly, I'd be much more proud of my children if they just, like, if they invested in some obscure cryptocurrency, like, on dumb luck, and then just, like, boom, made a ton of money, and then, I don't know. I respect hacks in the system. I really do. It's why I trade the market a lot. It's why I know a lot about crypto. I know enough to know why I'm not buying anything right now. That's just my opinion. But yeah, I respect hacks in the system. And I think it's one of the reasons I respect people like David, because here's a guy who is a guitar player and probably responsible for one of the more, he's one of the most influential guitar players in a certain genre right now, and that's like modern Christian worship music. His tones, I mean, what David says is the tone that's going to go on songs. If he gets really into modulation, the sort of, there's a lot of guitar players who move towards modulation. If he wants to use this amp or that, I mean, I've been influenced by him tremendously. Right. And there's guitar companies like Veritas that very much have been put on the map by David and another guy, Michael Pope. But those guys up there doing that thing. And so I really respect when those guys are able to say, OK, I'm a guitar player in this popular, you know, church. And, you know, I'm professional. I'm paid to do this because we go on tours and we do all this stuff. But I'm also a guitar player at this church, and we're writing music and stuff. And okay, I'm sure that makes him a living. And then I'm sure, you know, he's getting some, he's able to make money from teaching lessons or you know, endorsements of products in these things. But I really think it's great when he's able to say, look, in the genre that I'm influential, there's a digital guitar movement going on with HX Stomp, with Helix, with all of it, with the Kemper, with pedals, digital pedals, with everything. And so he's able to step in and go, here's how I'm getting my sounds, and let me use these units and give you sounds I'm happy with, because I'm making the parts and you're going after my sounds. So let me educate you and let me help out here. And so I have tremendous respect for people who do that, and people who are entrepreneurial enough to do that. And so he's made IRs that a lot of people have told me are some of the best IRs ever. Now, I'll tell you, somebody passed me two of David's IRs for kind of like a reference. And they said, have you heard David's? And I said, no. And they said, here, check this out. And they sent me, I'm not trying to steal his work, so I just want to make this clear. They sent me a patch they're using with two of his IRs, and they say, they basically said, what do you think of my tone? And I downloaded it, and I said, that's great. What are you doing? You know, now I just want to make a caveat. As a fellow creator, I didn't mind getting that person's preset and the IR and listening to it, right? And kind of trying it out. If I had started using them in any capacity at that point, I would go buy them. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, I do understand that someone sent me a copy. And I hope people can make that kind of distinction. Like, in my head, that's not theft, right? Because I'm making the decision, like, someone sent me this thing. It's got two of his IRs. I listened to the IRs. I played with them for, you know, 5 minutes or so. And I said, these are cool. I never moved on and used them more, or else I would have purchased them. Case in point, early on, somebody gave me some Michael Britt stuff. And they just sent it to me. And I put it on my Kemper, and I was a brand new Kemper user. I later went and purchased several Michael Britt packs. And when I became friends with Michael, I treated him to lunch several times and said, here's payback for pack two that I owe you, you know? So it was tongue in cheek at that point. I'm aware these things go on. And so I'm trying to communicate that, you know, someone sends me a preset and says, check out my tone. I don't feel like that obligates me to go spend money. if there's something in that tone that was a purchased product from somewhere else. And they were a friend of mine, so I just wanted to give them some feedback and listen. And I think my feedback was, sounds great, man. You know what I mean? Like, I'm also like a personality. And so I understand some people just want my opinion. Like, I don't want to be rude to the person. I can't accept that. I can't, you know, right. So anyway, I don't feel like I've materially benefited or tried to been using those IRs and not paying for them. But I will tell you, from what I heard and from other people, David makes some of the best stuff out there. And I've heard people's tones on videos and stuff, and they sound really great. And I know I'm not alone in that opinion. I know the Worst Tutorial guys feel like he makes great stuff. I feel like he makes great stuff. A lot of people who I trust say these products are incredible. And someone, according to his post, someone else who's a more well-known IR seller, which that is, I thought, my first clue that I thought, well, who's more well-known? So it's not some of it obscure. It's not like someone, Dick's IRs just went out there and started selling the stuff randomly. It was someone who's more well-known than David, or at least in David's mind is more well-known. That also leads me to believe it's not a person in the Christian space and like the worship space. Because I'm thinking who kind of does IRs in that space. It's sort of like Worship Tutorials, me, and David. And I would say in terms of IRs in that space, like especially on Helix and stuff, you know, people talk about David and the WT stuff. So I don't know who's more well-known. And I know it wasn't the Worship Tutorial guys, right? Because we've exchanged some texts. Like, did you see this? Do you know who it is? Like, what are you? And I'm sitting here going like, I'm not going to name any names in this podcast. I don't know. But there's a list of people who I'm kind of like, you know, because in the overall IR market in the Christian world, you know, basically David said in his post that he knows someone started taking his IRs and selling them as their own because he compared the waveforms, and he's 100% right in what he said. You cannot produce another waveform. It's like a fingerprint. It is like a digital signature. Now, how do you prove that? I mean, he's looking at them. There's a number of things you could do to obscure that as well. So what kind of is interesting to me is that whoever did this is both more well-known than David, according to David, but also stupid enough to not understand how to not get caught. I'll just say this out loud. It would be very easy to take, if you made an IR and you felt someone else's was better, it would be very easy to take that other person's IRs and sort of blend your IRs together. And they would sound different, but you would probably get the character that you like from the other person. It wouldn't be the other person's IR. And then that would bring in a whole moral thing. But what's interesting to me is that whoever did this wasn't concerned with hiding it. Because if you were to steal someone's IR, I mean, look, dude, I've had every thought in the book. I understand. Can people tell IRs apart? Yeah, I understand how. What if you start applying an EQ? Well, if you start applying an EQ, different types of EQs, you probably could still notice, as if you didn't do a ton to the EQ, you could still really notice that it was your IR, especially if you're just shelving and stuff. You'd be able to pick out the shelves really easily. You theoretically could start blending a bunch of IRs together or several IRs together, and you could create something that is new sounding and different sounding. And, you know, is that a materially different thing? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. This is kind of just a thought experiment. But what I took from this is it's weird to me that someone did this, didn't take any steps to sort of change them to not be found out or to change their sound. Because the other thing is I feel like people's ears are good enough that if I was the person who stole David's stuff and was selling it, I would also be worried that if someone's just out there shopping for IRs, they would use a test patch. They would put in my IR and then someone else's, and they'd go, these IRs are identical. And then they might ask that question on social media or something. Has anyone noticed these IRs are like the same? And that would get people looking into it. And the last thing you want, trust me, is people on the internet looking into you. Trust me, I have learned this lesson. So it's kind of strange to me, whoever did this. I mean, it must just be, you know, then it makes me think, then I start to go down this road. Is there some sort of IR brand out there that may be using, check this out. Is there some sort of IR brand out there that may be hiring people to create these impulse responses? Because I know several people have. For example, I know Michael Britt has done some IRs for some people. Maybe I shouldn't say that. I don't know if that's under confidence. I hope it's not. I'm not going to say who he did them for. But there was some brand. I don't even know if they started selling them. I really don't. But I know that he was at one point talking to a brand about, can I make some IRs? You know, do you want me to? I think they approached him. Anyway, I've had other people, I've had drummers, several drummers reach out to me about drum samples. You know, hey, we hire, you know, so-and-so is trying to hire me to make some drum samples. So to me, it's, I also acknowledge there's a type of situation where, let's say there's a big name out there in the IR world, or just a big name, and they actually contract with other people, hey, can you make these IRs? And so-and-so, they just steal someone's IRs and pass them off as their own, and they get the fee. And then this brand goes on and starts distributing them as their own. That's very interesting to me. And I don't know what happened in this situation, but I kind of, as I've thought about this more, I kind of have a hunch that something like that is more what went on rather than someone just put their name on it. And I think that might also be why David is slower to say what's going on or to say who it is. Because if someone was just stealing from me and doing that, I would come at them full force. And I would, if someone had taken my profiles and said, these are, you know, Don's profiles, and they were just Tone Junkie profiles, I would demand that they stop. I would demand compensation, and then I would probably demand that they shut down immediately. However, if it was a name much larger than me, which, you know, I'm not trying to brag here. I don't feel like there's names much larger than Tone Junkie in the space. Like maybe you go, oh, I think Michael Britt's bigger than you, or he's more trusted. No, I understand that, but I don't feel like Kemper users are in general not aware of Tone Junkie. I think I've done a good job in the last couple of years at least making people aware of who I am and just the volume of what I've been doing. So whether you like it or not, I mean, there's a lot of people that dislike Tone Junkie profiles. I get that. There's a lot of people that don't like Tone Junkie stuff. And so, yeah, I mean, I would just say, man, if it was a big name and they were doing that, I would strongly, like, that's where I might go, well, what happened here? Because I don't believe there's like a boardroom of people. Do you kind of get what I'm saying between the lines here? I don't have any insider knowledge. I'm just speculating that, because for me, that situation with that person would be very simple. It would be like this. If someone did that to me, if I found out someone was here, I would say, okay, how long have you had this product out? Okay, right now, I want access to the analytics software. I want verifiable analytics like that right now. And I would need to be satisfied. And if I can't have access to it, no, I would ask for access to the analytics. And I would say, I want to verify how much money you've made on this. And then we would talk about compensation. That's it. And I'd say, stop making it. And that, what's interesting to me though, is he says the person's cooperating. And that's where I go, oh, interesting. What does that mean? If the person is cooperating, I mean, it could mean that the person doesn't have the money. You know, David, we sold $30,000 of these and I don't have the money to give you. Okay. Maybe cooperate with the payment plan. But it also is interesting to me that I have any IRs been taken off the internet? Makes me think someone is out there And the people whose job it is to sell these and market these are different than the person who created them. And so they were not aware, and someone just tried to pull a fastball and walk away. And that's what I'm guessing happened. Now, I have no idea. I've traded one or two emails with David. I don't know him personally. So I'm not trying to, I mean, he made it public, so I don't feel weird about talking about it publicly. But I think it's interesting what's going on in the space. And I would say this, just like David talked about, I mean, I think he put something like, be real, be authentic, you know, don't steal. I would say this, you know, support the people who you really think do good work, support them. And, cause there's times of feast and famine in this business. I'll tell you that. There's times of feast and famine, and every creator right now, I'll tell you this, had an amazing 2020, and the last year they just finished is probably not larger than that, unless they've really experienced a lot of growth through that time. And I'll just tell you, I know that from speaking to a lot of people who do similar things to what I do. Everybody's businesses went crazy in 2020, and that can be hard on people, I think, too. I think that can be hard on people. I think transparently that was part of the reason I checked out. I don't know. I'm actually talking to my therapist right now about this. What happened to me last year? Something happened to me. I fundamentally, my mind checked into some not good stuff, but I didn't identify it as that. And maybe I would say this, not even unhealthy, but unproductive. So my heart goes out to David, who, because it sucks to know that people are stealing from you. And then the thoughts that brings up of like, you know, you don't know how, maybe he knows how much money it was or whatever, but you know, you start to think like, well, that's money that should have been in my pocket. That should have gone to my kids and my family and should have gone to my future. And, you know, so that's where I'm at. And people steal from me. I have people who just, and I've tried to address a couple of them, but I just don't bring attention to it. Because at the end of the day, it's just about support and it's about building that support. And I hope there's more support that goes out to David from this. In fact, I think in solidarity, what I'm going to do is go purchase a bunch of his stuff. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to purchase a bunch of his stuff and I'm going to say, hey, I'm going to post about it and say, other people should do this too. You got to be the change you want to see, right? So if we don't like, hey, someone's stealing from someone who like gives to our community and helps our community and makes free resources, then I'm just going to go, you know what? I'm going to go buy that stuff. Because that guy had something taken from him. And so I want to give. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go, let's do that. Can someone else do that too? Look, I put on these podcasts, there's no commercials on these podcasts on YouTube or whatever. And I never really put in sponsors, except I sometimes say that this is sponsored by the Tone Junkie Loaded Kemper from British Audio, blah, blah, blah. Okay. If you need a Kemper, how about you get one with Tone Junkie Profiles? They give me a little kickback for that. Appreciate it. Helps out. But I usually tell people to go do the buy me a coffee link for Tone Junkie. And you can like, you know, you can buy me $1 coffee or $2 coffee. I drink coffee on this podcast, right? And how about instead of whatever maybe you do there sometime, how about instead of that, just go buy one of David's packs. And if there's a little note or something, just put, just tell him, thanks for what you do. Let's support like each other. Like, thanks for what you do, supporting the creator community. I think that would be a rad thing to do. And I'm going to do that. And I'm going to do some posts about it. And I'm going to try and get people to do that. That's what I'm going to do. That is the me that I lost for a little bit too. I don't know how that happened, man. I don't know how it happened. Come on. Come on, man. Yeah. Let's go make a little wrong into a right. Let's go find a little injustice and make it some justice again. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I know I'm calling Keurig the scum of the earth. I'm being facetious, okay? Are they stupid features? Yeah, they're god-awful ideas that come to fruition that I need my coffee maker to be on the internet. But it's not hurting anyone. I mean, a little bit, it's hurting me because instead of that, they could have put in a sensor for the cup. You just listen to it. I digress, okay? How about we go support David and the creator community right now? Why don't we go do that? So that's what we're going to do. I'm going to make posts. I'm going to go buy a bunch of David stuff. I think everyone should go do that as well. And yeah, let's do that. Let's do that. And I might even make another little YouTube video about it. HW, out.